Absolutely, the same thing.
And this is a very important issue. I mean, we have, prior to this, we went to the Privy Council, as many other people do in the Caribbean today. We have walked the length and breadth of this region, extolling the value of bringing our final Court of Appeal to the Caribbean, the whole sense of dignity, and not waiting for the people in the please. Look, those of you who are calling the calling the program must appreciate that we are all in the same studio, and therefore it's difficult for you to carry on a conversation with Dennis on the phone while we are in here. We just gotta be sensitive to that. But anyhow, the point I was making about it is that we've had the Privy Council, and one of the arguments that we have presented when we made the move to go to the CCJ was that we didn't want to be loitering in London and wait for the day when they would put us out. Because you get the impression from a lot of what has been happening and what has been said that they are getting ready to get rid of us. So on what basis are we going to go back to them now?
But remember, David, he also said, according to the report in the Nation News, the Prime Minister also said Barbados would not be going back to the Privy Council.
That's correct.
So I don't know what.
So where is he going to go?
Yeah, we're going to establish our final court.
But yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of.
But also, I want to remind everybody, Prime Minister Stewart, and I think this is around the 50th anniversary of independence, when he made the point that Barbados' independence, Owen Arthur gave us jurisprudence by taking us to the Caribbean Court of Justice, and Frondell Stewart will be making us totally, completing the whole process by taking us as a republic. Okay?
He made
that point. So, yeah. This whole thing about the CCJ, I would declare my bias up front. I'm a regionalist. I believe that we should be basically United Caribbean States. I strongly believe that. Okay, and that is the way that we need to go. The whole world is going into blocks, and we cannot survive as this 280,000 people on a little rock in the Atlantic Ocean.
But Sanka, I agree with you. I'm a regionalist too. And let's set aside the whole question of our support for the CCJ, and let's look at it purely from the perspective of DLP strategy. I am the Prime Minister of Barbados and the leader of the Democratic Labour Party, and I want my party to win. Right? Now, I get that the lady is hostile to me. I don't have a problem with that.
Because she thinks that you're hostile to him.
Which is fine. And I get the impression that she believes that his views on the CCJ and her views as a supporter of the Democratic Labour Party are one. And I don't have a difficulty with that argument. My position is that from a strategic perspective, in 1999, which was the Democratic Labour Party's worst ever year performing, it got 45% of the total popular vote. And I have made the point over and over again, as I move around this region and I work on elections, the idea of appealing to your party base and believing that by appealing to persons like yourself, ma'am, who support the Prime Minister, you can win an election. The reality is that the Democratic Labour Party in 1999 managed to save 2 seats only. It was their worst ever year, and they still got 45% of the total popular vote. I have no doubt in my mind that on Thursday, the Democratic Labour Party will emerge with more than 40% of the total popular vote. Yeah. Because history demonstrates that that's the reality. The Barbados Labour Party, the same thing. But you can get 45% of total popular vote and still end up with only 2 seats. Indeed, you can get 45% of the total popular vote and not get any seats at all. So the question that I am asking is, does it make sense as a political party to appeal to, and I've seen it over and over again, like in Kitts and Nevis. We had similar conversations in relation to the situation with the Labour Party. Do you believe that by appealing to your base that you can win an election? And the answer has repeatedly been no, because there's a 20% of people nationally that move from party to party that think, and instinctively a lot of those people, David, are people like yourself.
Let me ask this question. What makes you conclude that the pitch on the CCJ is an appeal only to the party base? Why is it that can't appeal to people in the middle, it can appeal to people who are BLP supporters too.
Because David, people in the middle tend not to be as nationalistic. When I study the person in the middle, I study the demographic, I study the level of education, I study the way that they look to issues. Generally speaking, it is not the type of person that finds that type of thing exciting. So I'm saying that if you're saying, look, you have a BLP supporter and a DLP supporter, a DLP supporter who is part of the BLP supporter, who is part of the base, is not going to leave the BLP and vote for the DLP because of this nationalistic thing, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that comes through from the Green Paper on immigration reform, the putting out of the 15,000 people, and all of the other issues, the Shanique Myrie case, all of the other issues that have come through, because there's a nationalist sentiment, which in my opinion is not true DLP thing if we look at what Arabara used to stand for. And then even David Thompson, because he took us into the CCJ. He supported it.
I must say that I feel a little uncomfortable with an attack on what I see as the judiciary, though. Because at the end of the day, this is what it is.
And David, you are speaking as a member of that group of people, 20%.
Are the people who have come to us and told us that we must respect the law. They are the ones who tell us about the separation of powers. And at the end of the day, I'm sure, you know, others will feel a little uncomfortable about dealing with it in this particular way. Is there another way? What is the other way of dealing with it if you feel that the Caribbean Court of Justice has not been giving you justice?
I want to throw something in the link and try to make contact with exactly what the Prime Minister said and his concerns. He said, and he was clear, I heard you repeat it and Sanka repeat it in terms of the judgment. He said he was not questioning any of the judgments. He was questioning the attitude towards Barbados. The caller, the female caller, she made the same thing. She talked about the behavior towards Barbados. I wanted to ask that.
What
too.
Is that so behavior? You jumped me on it. I mean, that is not something that we know of in the public domain. I mean, we can only go on the basis of the judgment.
But the caller talked about the behavior during the Shanique Myrie towards Barbados, so it should be something that is What's in the that? Public. I'm not aware of it. I'm not.
The language in the Shanique Myrie judgment was very harsh on the administration of Barbados. Remember, he spoke harshly. The justices spoke harshly about the manner in which Barbados presented evidence. They spoke about the fact that there was some sleight of hand. They suggested that the
police... But will we put that as part of the judgment or attitude towards...
Well, it's part of the attitude. Because I think that any good prime minister would want to stand in support or in defense of his administration in that regard. The language in relation to the CCJ judgment was relatively muscular. It was basically saying, register these people or we will lock you up. Now, when you have a chief electoral officer being spoken to in that way, it is perhaps reasonable that the Prime Minister should take objection to that language. And then you have a High Court backing up that position this week and saying, look, stop playing games and register the people. So my sense is that this is what he's reacting to. He's reacting to the fact that he does not like his authorities being spoken to in that
way. This is particularly touchy ground.
It is.
Because if you take that position on the CCJ, what signal are you sending to your local court?
Dictatorship. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
It is touchy ground.
That you cannot make a decision that the political directorate does not agree with. We appoint our judges.
So Dennis, having said that, why are you going there as a leader? Why are you going there on the eve of an election?
He's going to get reaction from more people than you believe.
Stating quite clearly, he was not taking issue with the decisions coming out of the court.
Thank you.
Prime Minister Frondelle Stewart said, however, he would not be changing his mind. The loud applause from the crowd gathered for a national meeting at Eagle Hall, St. Michael last night. Stewart said Barbados was the first to join and could be the first to leave. Barbados joined the CCJ in 2004, and Stewart said even while in opposition in the Senate, he championed the cause of the court and urged the break from the Privy Council in England. The story goes on to say that he emphasized that it was not the decisions, because he knew the courts got decisions right and wrong, and as a lawyer, when he disagreed, he would appeal. So it's not the decisions. He says, I'm not going to have Barbados disrespected by politicians wearing robes. I don't subscribe to disrespect, and I think that the attitude coming from Port of Spain leaves much to be desired in terms of how it is treating Barbados. And I'm not going to have a situation where other countries in the Caribbean keep a safe distance from that court while Barbados supports it and Barbadians are treated with the kind of disrespect that I see. So did he spell out that disrespect? It is not spelled out here in this report. So
I just wonder whether my thing was not part of the disrespect. As I said, the language and the constant berating of the authorities.
I remember when they said that Barbados, the justice in Barbados was
it's too slow. I think, yeah. But that's the criticism.
But listen, but Barbadians, we ourselves have said that. And if you if the court gives a decision, and an officer anywhere in the country refuses to carry out or implement the decision, then that person is liable to be held in contempt of court, any court. So I need to get a greater sense of clarity from the comments made by the Prime Minister as to what specifically does he consider to be disrespectful of Barbados. Because on the one hand, he sees it as being disrespectful, and then there are other people who see it otherwise, who say, look, there are certain things that we ought to do in compliance, and we should not be flouting the authority of any court, and therefore if the court comes down against us for doing so, that is the law. That is the way that we were brought up to believe that we should work that way. There's so many people in this country who have decisions of the court go against them, and they're upset about it. But what do?
But if you know there's a difference between, because something is true doesn't mean it doesn't come across as disrespectful. If you come home, you say to your family, look, this house is dirty. And I come into your house and I say, look, this house real dirty. It comes across two different ways. I think he is talking about the way that, not only what they're saying, how they're saying it. And I think the way it is coming across as though Barbados is being unfair and so on. But again, that's why I don't like these one-way conversations, because I would like to have the Prime Minister in a forum that we can question him to actually find out, instead of here guessing. He don't look that way. But I mean, in terms of just guessing what's really going on in the man's mind. But I know we got to take a break. This is Brassat Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brass Tacks Sunday. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning.
Dennis?
Hello.
Glenn. Yes, Glenn.
Yeah.
There's a call on the line first. Yeah, go ahead, Glenn.
I listened to the Prime Minister's speech last night, and therefore I don't have to depend on just a newspaper report. Mm-hmm. And I want to join Corey's aspect of a point. And I wish the Prime Minister had given more details of what he meant by disrespect. But I gather from his words that there were a series of things, particularly to talk about the slowness of judgment and the slowness of which the courts and Barbados operate. I got the impression that that contributed to his attitude, whatever. But I wish he'd spelled out this more. I wish he'd given more details as to justify what he meant by disrespect. And therefore, would be more convincing in why he would have taken the position that he's taken. Which, as I said at the very beginning, was a very curious position to take and a very curious subject to bring up. But trigger at this time, when he could be, at this time of the election, when the stakes were very high, and then, therefore, he could be accused of not being pleased with the outcome of the the case with the chief of the
government officer.
Mm-hmm. But I understand where that is concerned. That case is concerned about the failure to act about by 12 o'clock was that.
No way, Francis.
Was that reference had to be made? Apparently, not. It's not only the registry. It's not only the chief electoral officer that processes these things. They have to depend on other departments of government to give the information for people to get clearance to be registered. They have to therefore wait on the clearance from the immigration department and other entities before they can have met that 12 o'clock deadline. That's the information I got.
Okay, caller, you're on.
Hello.
You're on.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. You know,
anti-America, how are you, sir?
Yeah, you know, Mr. Johnson started the program with a governance issue. a fundamental issue which really has not formed part of any discussion so far on the Sundays or the Tuesdays. Issues of design. You know, the very governance structure that we got to work with, and the fact that we could only vote once every 5 years, and you know, things that we find difficult with the whole process and so on. The 20% that don't vote for either party, obviously think these things are important. When you were speaking about the Prime Minister talking about the CCJ, Johnson wasn't talking about the fact that he says something. It was about the power of the Prime Minister. If he becomes Prime Minister again, he can actually move Barbados away from the CCJ and back to, I don't know, whatever David Ellis thinks is necessary. And David jumped in and said, no, let me talk about issues of firefighting and let me shield the guy on the telephone and that sort of thing.
Oh, man.
We should be discussing policy is one thing, but the only way you can get at policy is by actually querying the prime ministers, because the prime minister or the opposition leader, when it comes to the established parties, is the policy. They're the agenda. Whatever they say is law. Whatever they say is what the parties are all about. So if you can only get prime ministers to come on these programs, I mean, this is what elections should be about. CBC, Voice of Barbados, the two oldest radio stations and TV stations in Barbados, should be getting prime ministers to come and sit down in front of a microphone or TV or in front of the camera and deter and tell the public what is in their head, what they are thinking about, what they believe Barbados should be like 10 years down the road or at the end of their five-year term. The only leaders that they can get are from these smaller parties. And we know that when a smaller party leader speaks, that person speaks for the party. But you're getting these lower order people coming on these programs talking about, you know, the Democrat Labour Party believes this, the Barbados Labour Party or have always been behind this. Their word means nothing. It is the Prime Minister's word. And in this case, now, if the Prime Minister actually came on the program and said that his position with the CCJ is A, B, C, or D, you can question him directly.
Yeah, that's true. So let's move on, because basically we know how this whole question of communicating with the public has worked for the last 5 years or so, and the chances of getting that kind of interaction at this stage, I mean, it wouldn't even be encouraged now, because I mean, we are just a few days away from a general election in Barbados. We would be seen as basically taking a partisan position anyhow, so we're not going to do that. If it didn't happen in previous months, it's not going to happen now.
Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes.
Sorry.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yes. Go ahead, ma'am.
I've been holding so long. I just hope I remember my point.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make, I need some clarity. We have a prime minister that is a QC. Isn't that correct?
Yes, he is.
Why would he make such comments with regards to Miss Motley and Owen After without having done his background research? I think that the moderators on this program, as far as I'm concerned, appears to be quite biased. And you can't help but wonder, I mean, this is a common sense thing. Why would people make pronouncements without having done their due diligence with regards to this particular matter? I think we need to give Owen a fair break. I think we need to give Glenn Murray a fair break, because I think that Peter Wickham is biased.
Look, let me say something to you.
Already has been.
At the end of the day, I think I know this voice, and I think this voice is well known also online. And when this question of bias comes to the fore, those people who know the person would be able to determine who's really biased in all of this. But let me say this to you. At the end of the day, we can only go with the information that has been made public. And the conclusions that we have arrived at in relation to what the Prime Minister said, she's suggesting to us that because a person is Prime Minister, former Prime Minister, or that they are QC, that we should go on the basis of those qualifications only. We weren't brought up to think like that. We were brought up to believe that if you have all of those credentials, then you are going to put your case. And if you fail to put the case properly, then we will draw the conclusion as to whether you've succeeded or failed. Don't ask me and anybody else to just buy into what somebody has said on the basis of their background, whether that background is QC or, as the Prime Minister has been saying so much on the platform, whether it's based on their bloodline or anything like that. I don't think that what you have had to say on this program this morning in relation to that stands up to scrutiny. You can talk about bias as much as you like, but that will not carry the case that has been, that you want to put before the public of Barbados. You can't argue it like that. Where are the facts?
I did some thanks to my online people who sent me information from time to time. Throughout the Commonwealth, Antigua and Barbuda, you must be resident there for 7 years to vote. Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, no less than 1 year. Most Caribbean countries, 3 years. Kenya, 3 years. England, 6 months. Could even be a student. Canada, 3 years. Just some of the differences in time for citizens of the Commonwealth to be able to vote. It's interesting that this question of how Caribbean nationals moving from island to island, which was why I raised the issue of governance at the start, because under the revised Treaty of Trágaramas, when we talked about the freedom to work in various territories, my concern has always been, how do you handle things like NIS payments, income tax payments, if you want to pay your mortgage? Because it meant that if you had to get central bank clearance to be able to transfer funds between one island and the other, it would complicate the freedom with which people move within the islands. I want to contrast that with the fact that every day, every week, I see in the newspapers people coming to Barbados to work under work permits for extended periods, 2 years, 3 years, executive chefs, food and beverage managers. They send money to their countries to support their families. They are paid a displacement allowance to have them in Barbados. So they're being placed at an advantage to Barbadian citizens. And we don't hear talk about that. But we hear talk about people from the low islands and up islands. The other thing is this. There was a big to-do about Nigerian billionaire. If it was Bill Gates, if it was the guy who owns Virgin Atlantic, would we make the same comment? No, that's my point. We are prejudiced against our own. And it confuses me when I hear the kind of comments that I hear and people put it down to being nationalistic. It's not being nationalistic. There's something else undercutting this.
You know, in this regard, this issue came up in Antigua a lot. And I've had the good fortune in Antigua to work on both sides of the political fence. And the non-nationals or non-Antiguan-born in Antigua is 30% of the population. It's the highest regionally. Yeah, it's significant. Yeah.
Especially Jamaicans. And
the vast majority of them vote. Right, and Guyanese. Yeah, and from everywhere. Yeah. And the vast majority of them vote for the Antigua Labour Party. The UPP has always taken a position that, look, what we need to do is we need to change the laws. We need to work it so that these people cannot vote or participate in the elections. Well, the Antigua Labour Party has taken the position that we've made these people comfortable. And hopefully they will continue to vote for us. My question is, if it is that people who are non-Barbadian born are inclined to vote against you, is it not a good policy option to say, well, look, let's pursue policies that make these people feel comfortable. And then maybe they will support me as much as they will support anyone else. That's the question that I keep asking. Why is it that we have always assumed that if these people are not attracted to the Democratic Labour Party, that they cannot be made to like the DLP as much as they appear not appear to dislike the DLP?
Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon now. It's a minute after noon. Glenn, let me just take this other call and then I'll get you the comment. Yeah?
Yeah, thanks. Good afternoon to the panel.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say two quick things before I get on with my point, because it will be very quick. Peter, I want to say to you to let them come, because we know exactly who they are and they will become laughed to as for now. So be disturbed. Now, David, hi. I heard that you are wearing green. I want to welcome you to on board.
Which one? Which party is this now?
I hear, because I suspect now you're
sticking green. I kind of colorblind. The fellas tell me it's gray and green.
I suspect you're sticking green up our stairs now, but welcome aboard.
David tell you it always appears green on the other side, yeah?
Let me go to my point now. Now, I see former Prime Minister our first...
Sir, let me interrupt here, right? I am tired asking you people not to ascribe motive to what people do. Please do not do it. You could make a comment. You could say, I think, Do not ascribe things to people's ascribe motive to what people do. Okay? I'm not gonna let it go. Brass tacks. Glenn, you wanted to comment.
I wanted to say that where Peter was talking about the attitude of the non nationalists towards various parties from point to point. From what I recall, I think this perception, or maybe it's a reality, that the people from the Caribbean were fairly disposed towards the Barbados Labour Party, probably arose out of the post 1996 Tom Adams granted an amnesty to them to regularize their status to become landed immigrant citizens, etc. And therefore, it is quite possible that perception of a pro bias towards the BAB might have arisen out of the goodwill that was spent towards the Barbados Labour Party as a result of that approach. The other thing was that the Mr. Anti-America, as he's popularly known, indirectly alluded to something which I had hoped to get a chance to raise. The question, remember, it's not so long ago, we used to have debates between the parties at election time.
Yes.
I miss that. I miss that because right now we do not have the kind of high-level discussion around senior figures in the party, leader figures in the party, where you can get a more intellectually well-joined tussle, etc. I think that, like David said, it's way too late for now. But it's interesting that nobody seemed to have proposed that seriously.
I know. It was proposed.
It was?
Yeah.
I know that the Chamber of Commerce was trying.
I think the Economic Society, their thing initially was supposed to have been a broader thing. Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation has also attempted to do it. Up to yesterday, we had a non-starter where I was invited to that August institution to do a program with the other parties, but it didn't happen. So I think it's been tried. And I let you agree, Glenn, that that's something
it.
That's missing
we
from
all
our
miss
politics.
It. Yes.
Let me ask this question of you, gentlemen, though.
Uh-huh.
Prior to us broadcasting live from Parliament, we didn't get the opportunity to hear our politicians engaging each other. So you're telling me that what happens in Parliament is not an opportunity for the population to hear parliamentarians engaging each
that.
Other?
We're not saying that.
But I don't want to hear them again after
Parliament. No, we're not saying that. We're saying basically that, you know,
you want the public to be able to interact with
there
them.
There are a lot of people who do not have the time to go and listen to Parliament for an entire day. Yeah. Just to hear one part of what is being said. So that becomes an opportunity for the media to filter to the public the salient points or what the media sees as the important points. That does not replace discussion and or debate by the key players. And this is what is missing. I mean, in addition to that, I mean, the truth of the matter is that I've seen something here that I never believed would have happened in Barbados. I mean, where you give opportunity for people to come and discuss the issues with the public, and they just don't show up. They basically pick and choose and say, well, you know, you don't like us, so because you don't like us, we don't like you. And therefore, they just don't. And the notion that we don't like them is also very interesting. What I have seen is that there is a creeping disrespect for certain institutions, creeping disrespect. And I hope that we don't see much more of this. The notion that you are here only to do somebody else's bidding, that if they cannot use you in their own way, then they will discard you and they will try to set the dogs upon you to say to the rest of the public, you know, that person is against us. Indeed, we have to be very careful that we do not incite people to attack others in one form or the other, because that is what I am detecting taking place out there as well. Huh?
Yeah.
And David, I'm going to stick my neck out here, and I know you can get blast for it. This is why I'm so concerned about that CCJ comment by the Prime Minister.
It's about institutions.
Okay? Precisely. I kept making noise all the time about the fact that we invited every political party to come here for the People's Parliament. And the DLP, when they did send, only one minister came, which was Stephen Lashley, okay? And who represented himself well, as he always does. But the whole point about it is that when they did send people, some of these people were not prepared. Like I was here with George Conley. He was unfair. A good candidate, but he was unfair. He came here to talk about finance. He was totally unprepared. All right? That was not fair to him. All right? And then, just hold a second, Blaine. And then they did not send to other areas which really deserve a high level of debate. It was not right.
But and that has nothing to do with having the maximum leaders debate in Barbados.
No, these are the lower level.
These are the lower level, and they just did not turn up.
I mean, you are going to hear on the political platform by more than one speaker, don't buy the nation. Okay, so don't this with StarCom, and so they are attacking the institutions of StarCom and the nation because we tend to be independent. We say exactly what the position is and we give both sides. And now, when the Prime Minister is going to come and say he wants no part of the CCJ, they ain't going back to the Privy Council, it scares me. Because what are you really saying? Anybody who does not agree with me and my party, well then, I have a problem with them and we ain't want a part of them? Excuse me. There are a number of views that must interplay. This is democracy.
Let me hear Glenn, what's your view?
Yeah, my view, first of all, I think this attack on the media, I believe Sanker and yourself were alluding to the attack on members of the media and whatnot. But that's a traditional fate of the journalists in Barbados.
That's correct.
I remember in the 60s, for example, soon after Mr. Barr became premier, Michio, who was then the leader writer for The Advocate, wrote some articles critical of Mr. Barrow. And Mr. Barr banned all the advertising from The Advocate and only went back when he realized that he was publishing in the Daily News and he weren't getting the kind of response that he wanted. I remember prior to 1976, I was called, Mr. Barr called me Blaine Murray, a political prostitute. I remember during the 76 campaign, I got threats on my life. The police had to advise me on mornings before I leave my house. Before I start my car, I used to go and lay down on the ground and look under the car.
In Barbados?
Yes. Yeah, in Barbados. If you read the Advocate, you see all that went on. These kind of things are par for the course. All people have to do is be true to themselves, be professional, and be accurate, and things like that. But apart from that...
But you have to call it out, too. Because if you don't call it out for what it is, it can get even worse.
And isn't it different to attack the entire institution as opposed to the
individual?
Individuals? Because I pick up that as the difference. To me, Trump did it very effectively by attacking various media houses. And so, and I think the DLP is a good strategy.
It's a Trumpism.
It is a win-win for them because when they do not show up, right, they put the moderators in a position where you have to defend them or appear and give them credence that you are appearing biased. So it is a win-win for them. They cannot lose. The only thing they lose is people with reasonable minds understanding that is very disrespectful. They see it as a win-win, though.
Let me go back to this thing about educating our people and understanding governance. Let me read to you from the National Registration Act 2015. It says, The Electoral and Boundaries Commission, A, compile a national register for the registration of citizens of Barbados, as well as for the registration of non-citizens who are resident in Barbados for a period of 6 months or more, issue new identification cards with new national registration numbers, requires the commission to establish, keep, and maintain a national register where every citizen of Barbados and every non-citizen who is resident in Barbados for a period of 6 months or more is to be registered. This information will also be used to assist with the preparation of a register of electors for the purpose of the Representation of the People Act, Cap 12, and to set out the eligibility requirements for a person to be registered in the National Register. Now, this ain't the CCJ. This is the laws of Barbados. So when people talk about the bias, and other things about some court and institution, it's in our laws. You know, we dicing with some things that I am not comfortable with.